He gave me four examples of deliverance by something that you would not normally think of as deliverance. And he said to me, my grace was sufficient enough for Paul. It was sufficient enough for Zerubbabel. It was sufficient enough for the Macedonians, and it was sufficient enough for Noah, and it's sufficient enough for you. But it must be a different understanding of grace, how to appropriate grace, because the hardest thing I'm going to do is, the hardest part of my job is get over what you think grace is, what you already reverted to. As soon as I said grace, yeah, I've got that. I know all about it. The hardest part is getting over that hump into what grace is, how to appropriate it, receive it, and what it really is in its fullness. Whatever it was with Noah when he found grace in God's eyes, it delivered him and his whole family from global judgment. There was a global judgment pronounced upon the world, and the grace of God delivered Noah and eight members of his family, or seven other members of his family, and he became the heir of the entire world when it was all over with. Now listen to this scripture. It's like, how does grace defeat your enemy? Well, it's awesome. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, a word of his grace. Now notice what the word of his grace is able to do, which is able to build you up. It's what we saw in the Macedonians. Remember it says, I do you the width of the grace of God bestowed upon the Macedonians, who through a great trial of affliction and deep poverty abounded to their joy and to their liberality. The great trial of affliction obviously was the same spirit that was squeezing the place before Paul showed up. When the spirit of divination, which is Python, that spirit, even though Paul cast that out, it was trying to come back upon them, because that spirit will always return to the house from which it was sent. Amen. That spirit of divination, when it came back to try to restrict and squeeze, and that was creating a great trial of affliction in the midst of the Macedonians. In that affliction, there was heaviness and oppression and depression, because it said the remedy had abounded unto their joy. They found deep joy in the midst of the affliction. This is not kind of joy you just go stir yourself up into. It's legitimate, God-ordained joy that rises, and it built them up out of that tribulation and made them powerhouse stewards for the kingdom of God. And they were the example that Paul went on around all the other churches bragging about the Macedonians and how awesome they were, because that grace came upon them and they received that grace and it built them up above what the enemy threw against them. Grace will build you up. Say, grace will build you up. And it'll cause you to rise above your enemy. Certain principalities are only going to get displaced when the Lord returns. What we're looking for is to remove their influence over our lives and over our cities. The removing of influence over our families, over our minds, over our walk, removing the restriction, the grace of God can build us up above it. And look at this, give you an inheritance. Grace can build me up. Grace can grant me an inheritance. Grace, grace, and more grace. Hallelujah. Go to Zechariah chapter 4. Grace is a free gift. If it be of works, it cannot be by grace. If it be of grace, it cannot be of works. Romans tells us they're diametrically opposed to one another. If it's a free gift, then do you have any responsibility with it? If it's a free gift, What is your responsibility? If it's a free gift, then do you just wait for the free gift to show up? If it's a free gift, if it's unmerited favor, unmerited power, unmerited blessing, it came upon the Macedonians, brought them out of a great trial of affliction, and it brought them out of deep poverty and made them stewards, stewards for the kingdom, made them wealthy. Made them a blessing where Paul, we could go around these other churches because the false apostles were coming and robbing from them. Paul said, I'll come and preach the gospel to you free of charge because the Macedonians, they're my partners. They became his lifelong partners in ministry. The grace changed them. It fundamentally transformed them from where they were. It built them up above it. When Noah found grace in God's eyes, he was delivered from global destruction. If it can deliver you from global destruction, it can surely deliver you from Python. Amen? You focus on Python, you'll be fighting a focused warfare. You're always worrying about the enemy. You focus on grace, releases us to be full. We're focused on the King of Kings and full, filled with his fullness. Notice the Zerubbabel. Thing about grace is you're going to learn a few things about grace. Where it's dispensed, how it's dispensed. Hallelujah, how to get it. It's free. Can't work for it. But it is there. And I'm on it. And the enemy can shout, he can do whatever he wants. But he's not going to stop us from receiving the grace of revival. You know, there is revival in the grace of God. You got to get your mind illuminated to what grace is. Because it's much bigger than probably what any one of us think it is. Zechariah 4, both old and new. Hallelujah. And the angel, verse 5, talked and answered, said unto me, knowest thou what these mean? And said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. He was called to rebuild the temple. We're called to build the temple. We didn't need to get it rebuilt to where it was in the book of Acts. So it can go on and be everything God wants it to be. We're building a spiritual temple. He was building a natural one, but still building the temple. He was countering great resistance. Book of Haggai spoke about they gave up after a while and just started building their houses instead. Him and Joshua and Haggai and Zechariah came in and started stirring them up and said, look, you guys got to get back into the battle. You got to guys get back on the wall. Because first thing you want to do is stop and quit. You can't. It makes things worse. But you don't realize when you want to quit, it makes stuff worse when you quit. You got to stay engaged and let the circumstance and the trial squeeze you in. Squeeze out the dependency on the world and people and the things of this world and position you in front of grace so you can receive it. And grace will build you up above it, cause you to rise above it. It'll clothe you in joy when you're supposed to be full of sorrow. It'll clothe you in strength when you're supposed to be weak. It'll clothe you in blessing when you're supposed to be poor. It'll clothe you in goodness when everything is bad. It'll clothe you in mercy when there's supposed to be judgment in the land. Noah found mercy in the midst of judgment. I'm not going to be in any judgment. I don't care what comes upon this world. I'll be in the midst of God's mercy. I'll be part of his solution. I'll be living in his mercy and his goodness and his grace. Shout amen. Hallelujah. Who art thou, O great mountain? He encountered great, not just a mountain, but a great mountain. Anybody encountered great mountains? I want to find the solution of my mountains. I've spoken to them. I've done spiritual warfare. And you got to do all that because the Bible says you speak to the mountain. But I need something when I'm weak that causes me to rise above my mountain because I cannot deal with my enemies when they have come at me hard and heavy and they corralled me and it's just one trial after another trying to break me down and all I can do is just stand on one leg. I can't defeat him like that. I have to have something that causes me to rise above him. To be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, to come out of where I am into him. Who art thou, O great mountain? before Zerubbabel, or before the God-ordained mantle and purpose that God put upon him. Notice what it says. Thou shalt become a plain or a leveled ground. It won't be a mountain anymore. You'll walk on it. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, shouting, what? Grace, grace. Say grace, grace. That's double portion of grace, 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 grace. John chapter 1, he said, of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Your King James will say grace for grace. It means grace upon grace, compounded grace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Say grace, 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 grace under the mountain. It moved by grace. It was moved and leveled by the grace of God. It was moved by his grace. Paul said, because of the abundance of my revelations, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. God didn't send that thorn because he said it was a messenger of Satan. It was not a messenger of God to humble Paul. It was a messenger of Satan, lest he be exalted above measure and fulfill his apostolic calling and harvest the entire known world. The enemy sent a principality against him. He sent a principality. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he sent it against Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. You're going to like this. I'll tell you how you cannot receive grace, is get in the middle of your trial and say, God, I need your grace. Help me. Give me grace. That is not how grace, actually the Bible actually speaks very clearly the position of grace and where it's found and how to get in position for it. You have to get in position for it, and it must be received in the same way you found it. It has to be received by faith, and there is a position of grace. Grace is the holy grail of God. It can make you Superman if you know how to get a hold of it. But you have to understand your great necessity for it. And as long as we have in ourselves the ability to work it out, when things are comfortable, you're not looking for grace. Grace is the last thing you look for when everything's going well. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, is given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That was not God. That was a messenger of Satan. That thorn in the flesh was a principality assigned to Paul. One man, one probably that was assigned to an entire nation, was reassigned to him. And it caused a lot of damage in his life. You can read about that damage in chapter 11. A night and a day in the deep, perils of countrymen, perils of robber. Who shipwrecks three times? I can imagine a plane goes down. Well, who does that? Who raises your Euroclodon, hurricane force winds against what was his mission? He was going to appeal to Caesar. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan above me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. Get this guy off of me. He obviously was pythonic. He would squeeze him. He would oppress him. He was constantly on Paul. Constantly. You can read about it in chapter 11. Constantly waging a warfare against his apostolic. In fact, he turned the entire Corinthian church against him. He birthed them. In chapter 13, he goes, you seek a proof that Christ is even speaking through me now. You don't even know it's me anymore. Trying to destroy his credibility so the revelation could not take hold. Constantly trying to squeeze. Notice what the answer was, because he wanted deliverance. He wanted breakthrough. Just like we do. Ultimate breakthrough, because I want breakthrough from this. And you think of the Lord's answer to him. I besought the Lord three times. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You'll get through it. My grace is with you. That's not what he was saying. You'll get through it, Paul. Just hang in there. I'll get you through. No, he gave him the answer. And the reason why we don't understand that answer, because we don't understand the power of that grace. He said, my grace, Paul, is going to cause you to overcome that. And only my grace is going to cause you to overcome that. He wasn't talking about getting through. He was talking about overcoming. There's a difference from bearing the burden to overcoming the burden. Paul got the revelation. He says, most gladly, therefore. He goes, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I know a lot of people that are weak, battle-torn, battle-weary, that have no strength of God. You ever seen them? If all that is coming from our weakness, when we're battle-torn and battle-weary, and we're broken down, and we're in position, we're in weakness, then where is his grace if that's all that qualifies you for his grace? Ever seen anybody get broken down? Say, well, then if they're broken down the weakness, they should have grace because it's perfected. That's just the position. All it was is removing the dependency of everything else. That's phase one. Because as long as we're dependent on the systems of this world or the systems of church or the systems of people or ourselves, our own sufficiency, we will not even look for his grace. We'll go work it out. We'll work revival out. You don't believe the church can do self-help church growth seminars without God's power? We got this one, God. We'll have the seminar. We know how to get them in. We'll deny the power. We got it. We don't really need to do all that. That's why we're not looking for the most valuable gift God has ever given to the church. Paul called it in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 an unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift of grace. He understood it. God got it over to him. He says, I'll most that gladly, therefore, glory in my infirmity. See, Paul was an A-type, self-sufficient personality, kept the law blameless in his humanity. He was disciplined. He was a leader, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had it all together. Because those things were gain to me, I count it all but done, because that's not what's going to get the job done. God had to unravel all that to get Paul connected to his grace instead of Paul connected to his sufficiency. It took a lot to unravel Paul, because he was an incredible man. He was, man, he could change the atmosphere walking in the room before he was born again. He was one of those atmosphere changers. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a leader of leaders, kept the law blameless, disciplined to the nth degree, had it all together, persecuted the church, full of zeal for God, had it all until he met God. And God said, the way we're going to get this done, Paul, is not by you. We're going to get it done by my grace, but you're going to have to learn to receive it. Now, I don't need a circumstance to come my way to go find God's grace. I already know how to get positioned. But if we're continually, this is what the Lord told me. He said, if grace is not your desire from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, then you ain't got it yet. Until you know and come to the place you cannot do what I've called you to do without it. Until you get hungry for it. Till you get thirsty for it. Till you can't live without the supply of that grace to get the job done. I'm not talking about existing. We all have learned how to exist. I'm not talking about being patient in warfare. We've all learned to be patient in warfare. We've learned to stand. I'm talking about apprehending something that will cause the mountain to move. Go to 2 Peter chapter 5, and you're going to find it in James. Both of them saying the exact same thing. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 5. All about the access. The right hand of God is the throne of grace. Zion is the right hand of God. The right hand of God is where God administrates his throne. His throne is a throne of grace. Say grace. Grace. Everything about God is dispensed. He says, you, in Romans 6, are not under the law anymore. You are under grace. I am under a dispensation of freely inherited grace. God is willing to give it out, even though you may have gone 20 years in your walk with God and haven't learned how to receive it. He's still willing to give it out. He wants to give it freely. He can't help himself. He will honor anybody that honors the sacrifice of his son. He cannot deny you because his son has paid the price for it. It's already been paid for in full, and it pleases the Father to freely give you the kingdom. He that spared not his only son, how shall he not also freely give you all things through Christ? That's grace. How do we get it? I'm not talking about the grace that just causes you to buy. We all have that. There's apostolic grace. There's grace for your calling. I say to the grace given unto me as an apostle. Every man's been dealt his measure of faith and grace with that office. You have office grace. I have an office grace. That's why I can come up in here, I mean, just in the most backward circumstance, and as soon as I step up in here, the anointing comes on me. I'm under grace. You see a guy that's all messed up? I mean, you know he's messed up. He'll get up in there and the anointing will come on him because it's an office grace that's on him. That's administrated too out of the right hand of God. You know, you can go there and get more stuff for your office. If you find something that's lacking in your office, you can go up there and make an appeal for the grace of God for it. Grace to move mountains. Grace to move them out of your life. The ability to receive it. Where is it? How do I get in position for it? What's keeping me from it? Why is it not on me now? If it's a free gift and I don't have anything to do with it, wrong. If I can't work for it, then I have nothing to do with it. Half wrong. One of the things that most new Christians won't look for is grace. Because most new Christians are still full. You know what I mean? As soon as you're still full of you can do it kind of thing, just do it, Nike syndrome. You're not looking for his grace. It's the ones that are up against the wall and have been up against the wall and have no other way to move the mountain and have been trying to move it for year after year after year. And you've been up against your ceiling and you're trying to break through that ceiling and go to another level. And you've tried everything under the sun. You've had everybody and their grandmother and their mom lay hands on you. You've had everybody pray for you. You've done everything you know to do and you still haven't moved the mountain. It's that person that needs grace, and they recognize they need something higher than themselves. They need something higher than anybody else around them. They don't come up you with the easy solutions. Oh, come on, brother, just do this, and it'll happen. Say, look, you haven't walked in my shoes to say something like that. You don't know me. You don't know what I've walked through to carry this kind of thing. Besides, I've already tried what you just said 10 times, and it didn't work. Hello. It's that person that needs grace. The kind of grace that's freely dispensed that could build me up. I need to be built up above my storm. I need to be built up above my enemies. I don't need to engage my enemies in my own strength. I don't need to engage my enemies in my own weakness. I got to be in him. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I got to get built up in him and then I'll engage him. When David was in front of Goliath, he was ready for that battle. None of the other people were ready for that battle. The whole nation was under the thumb of Goliath, except one man was above him, and he was ready to take him on because he was full of the power of God. And if you're not full, you can't take your enemy on. I don't care how many times you shout the name of Jesus. You got to be full. When Caleb stood and moved Anak off of the Mount Hebron, he was ready to move him off. Joshua and Caleb were ready. He said, we are well able to take this. All the other one cowered under. Only grace can build you up above that. Before you take on your enemy, you got to get above him. And what's going to get you above him out of weakness, you will be made strong. But that's half of it. The reduction of yourself is only half of it. If all you do is die to the flesh all the time, you're going to be a miserable person and make everybody around you miserable. Dying is one phase of it. It eliminates what's in the way called Y-O-U. Or just you. That's good. But that's not it. I'm ready for more grace. Look, I said, Lord, my enemies are about me all the time. I get that, but I need more grace to overcome them. What I need is grace right now. I want to come out. I'm already starting to drink a little bit of it. I like it. I like it. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Now, I'm going to give you a new definition of pride today. Because not one person in here believes they're in pride, do they? Is anybody in pride right now? Raise your hand. I want to give you a true definition of pride. Because pride, only defined by your mind, may not be the correct definition. There's a lot of different pride, but he's actually talking to believers here. He's not talking about the world. You know there's worldly proud and proud people. They're already resisting God, but he's not talking to them. He's talking to people who know God. He's talking to people who already know him. Now, I'm not talking about just the pride, normal pride. He's going to give you the definition of pride here. Because the Bible's very clear about grace. The one thing about grace, it's dispensed with the lowly. Grace is dispensed with the lowly. It's dispensed. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. God giveth grace to what? The humble. So that doesn't mean like, well, okay, I'm humble today. No, I can't walk in like this bold in the Lord, can I? Because then I would be in boldness and not humility. I am humble. What is humble? What is humility? What is it in every area of our life that he's defining the ability to receive grace? Yes, all of you be clothed with humility, but God resisteth the proud. He's going to resist. God's going to resist the proud. If God is resisting, then there is no hope. That's New Testament. Most people that are proud, but I'm not talking about that normal pride. I mean, you know, you can see someone coming in and they're got full of pride and they're unteachable and they're full of rebellion, you know. That's really not what he's saying here. So you won't have no grace on your life. He's going to tell you what he really means by this. But giveth grace to the humble. So we definitely need to be humble, right? But I need you right now to take your definition of humility and humbleness and put it on a shelf, because maybe our definition's getting in the way. I'm humble. Well, if you're humble, then you should have some grace. Hey, there's humble people in the world that don't even know God. Legitimately humble people. Does that mean God's grace can get bestowed on them? Here's humble. You want to see it? Verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. James will say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand, right hand of God, that you may be exalted in due time. Humble yourself under. In other words, grace is being dispensed from under the right hand of God. It's being dispensed from the person who humbles themselves under God, that surrenders the control and the recognize, I can't do this. I must come under submission to the right hand of God. Submission to God. Submit yourself unto the Lord and he will lift you up. The submission to be under the Lord is the position of humility that's going to position you to receive grace. And without being there, you're out of position because he says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, which is in the right hand of God. That's where his throne is. Christ seated at the right hand of God. That's where the throne is executed. We have to come under that place before any grace or fullness of grace is dispensed. We have to be there in front of it, submitted unto it. Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. He was in front of the Lord. Do you know the next verse about Noah said? He walked with God and was perfect in his generations. He found grace because he walked with God. He was with him. He was in his eyes. He was in front of his face. He was positioned for that grace. He was positioned to escape the judgment of the world because he was positioned and found that grace. He found it. Say, found it. Says, he goes, come therefore boldly on the throne of grace. You may obtain or receive mercy and find grace. So you got to find the grace for your life. If grace has been dispensed so freely, why don't we all have it? We're not in position for it. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, I got a church. I'm talking about daily getting positioned. What I need is this grace. I'm coming in for grace. I'm coming in for grace. I come under the shadow of the Almighty. You see that? Esther said she went before the king and found grace in his sight. Where did she find the grace? In front of the king. She didn't find the grace out in the outer court. She found it in front of him. She found it in his sight. We have to come up in front of him. We got to get where he is. And that's where grace is dispensed. Isn't that good? Ooh. Grace is not dispensed out here trying to build, trying to deal with the things of life when we're not properly clothed, when we're not properly full. It hasn't built us up to deal with what's come against us. If you're in a raging warfare, stop! And realize that that thing is bigger than you right now, and you got to get into something that's bigger than him. You got to get into Christ. You got to get into grace. That's the position of grace. The dependency of grace. And then the final step, I'm positioned. I've entered in. I've come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's why he said you got to go to where grace is executed. And to get where it is, you humble self under. Say under. Nobody's going to do this until they have no other option on a consistent basis. You follow me? I won't say nobody. I'm going to say not many are going to do this unless their options have been eliminated, unless there's nothing else. Sometimes our circumstance eliminates our options. You follow me? Now, the final leg, you have to believe in the grace. You got to believe your answer's in that throne. You got to believe that if he said, see that you abound in this grace also, speaking of the Macedonian grace, know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty have been made rich, that there is actually financial grace there in the throne for you. Say financial grace. That my God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Do you absolutely believe it? He won't go after it with absolution. Should write that down. Unless you absolutely believe it, you will not go after it with absolution. If you don't go after it with absolution, there won't be the proper submission to it. Sufficiency will get in the way. Circumstance will get in the way. People will get in the way. Systems of this world will get in the way. All of these things will come and offer an alternative to his grace. The alternative anointing will show up like that. I believe the grace of God is the holy grail of all things. I believe the grace of God can turn any one of us into something
that any one of us could never be without it.
I believe it moves Zerubbabel's mountains. It caused Noah to escape the judgment of the world. It removed the strong man off Paul, and it removed poverty off of an entire church. Altered multiple churches because it was the churches of Macedonia. Grace fell upon and removed poverty off the church. It was corporate flow of grace. It transformed them from poverty and a great trial of affliction to abundance of joy. We have to move into grace, and then we have to appropriate grace. Pride. The definition of pride in this point. Pride was the inability to submit on a daily basis under the shadow of the Almighty. It was the inability. It was what was causing you not to submit yourself under the Lord. I call it proud flesh. It wouldn't be just because I'm proud towards you and I'm better than you. Not that kind of proud. Proud flesh that doesn't submit itself into position with the Lord. It resists the submission process of God. He that taketh not up his cross daily and denies himself cannot be my disciple. Didn't talk about anything about salvation there. You wouldn't be a disciple. He that does not deny himself and take up his cross. The taking up the cross, because he showed me this last night. Listen to this. He said, I don't put you in a position just so you can say, oh, I'm trusting in dependency of God on him. Oh. You ever thought about that? Well, I can't trust anything else. I got to depend on God. I'm in a situation I can't get out of, and God put me here. No. He'll use those circumstances, but he has no delight in your suffering. What he wants more than anything is to deliver you, but he's got a way in which he's going to deliver you. He wants his grace to come upon you and deliver you freely. If he'll use a situation to get you positioned for grace, he will, but he's not authoring that stuff. Your enemy is authoring it. He's always fighting about, but proud flesh will resist humbling because it still thinks it's got the answer. Or everything else is important right now. Till you get to the place where nothing else but his grace. I need grace to build this church. And without it, it's going to keep doing what it's been doing for the last 15 years. That's what I had to come to the conclusion of. I need grace, and we need grace to move the mountains that are in the way. But we have to let grace build us up. We got to come to the throne of grace and be filled with the strength. So what is grace then? What is it? Y'all get proud flesh, what he was talking about now? Proud flesh is the resistance. It's this. When you're trying to serve God and I'll take the wings of a morning instead of submission of God. See, the submission of God is to know what I need is through that doorway of Christ. What I need is submitting and humbling of self, coming through the doorway to the throne of grace. I need it to live, to thrive, to abide, to grow, develop, to multiply. But instead, I bypass this and I go do it. See the difference? A lot of different ways proud flesh can work. But proud flesh can stop the proper submission. So you're on this side of the gate calling for the grace of God. That's being out of position. The grace of God is humbled under the mighty right hand of God. It's not on the outside calling down the grace of God. Without the humbling process and coming into where he is, where grace is dispensed. Where did he say it's dispensed? The right hand. Dispense, come, therefore, boldly. Come, say, come. Come to the throne of grace. We got to get there. And we got to know it's our answer. We got to know. You got to believe in it. So you got to believe in his grace. Now, two things I want to leave with you here. First thing I want to leave with you. When you're at the throne of grace, you have to appropriate by faith. You're going to have to sit there and appropriate until a channel is opened up to receive it. You just go and say, give me grace, Lord. You have to believe you receive. You got to sit there, and actually I'll do this for you, even though we're not fully in there. I'll show you what I do a little bit. We have to get in there. How, Father, you that spared not your only son, how shall you not freely give me all things?
I thank you for your grace that is building me up this day. I receive the grace that builds me above the storms, that builds me above the circumstance, that builds me above the strong man, that builds me above what's been sent against my life, that builds me above what's sealing my life. It's able to build me up and grant me an inheritance. I come to receive freely, for it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. You are my sun, my light. You're my exceeding great shield. And you give this day to me grace and glory. And no good thing are you withholding. No good thing are you withholding. I need a lot of things, Lord. I come. There's nothing you're withholding. I receive the abundance of your grace. You're able to make all grace to abound in me, that I'm always having all sufficiency in all things and abounding in every good work. I'm abounding. I have all sufficiency. Your grace is creating the atmosphere of all sufficiency. Your grace is creating strength. I receive the grace of your strength. I receive the grace of your joy. I receive the grace of your love being shed abroad in my heart. Free, unmerited love. I receive the grace of unconditional love. I receive the grace of provision. I receive the grace of your peace that passeth all understanding. I receive the grace of your glory. I come to you on the behalf of my apostolic calling, and I receive the grace, the elements that are missing upon my calling, the elements of signs, miracles, and wonders, the elements of creative miracles, the elements I come to receive from you, Lord. You ascended up on high and you received gifts for man. You receive the apostolic government. You receive the offices. You receive and you dispense them from the right hand. I come to be equipped for my office. Clothe me in grace. Clothe me in strength. Clothe me in glory. I receive your grace. How, Father, that you that spared not your only son, how shall you not freely this day give me all things? Thy kingdom transfer, thy kingdom come, thy grace transfer, thy grace transfer. I open my heart. I open my heart.
See that? And you sit there and just do that over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. What are you looking for? Something greater than you. Because there's going to be a breakout of his grace. And when it does, it's going to lift you up above your storm. Then you'll come back out and you'll speak to the mountains and they'll part from you. Do you feel that? I receive it. Now I realize what has to come out of the right hand of God. It's being dispensed by grace. I need to receive the grace of God. I need to open my channel. I was doing this yesterday. I was doing this. You know what was happening? This person kept coming up. And every time I'd pray, this person was sitting there, and I was just meditating on this person and different stuff that was going on with this person. I'm like, why is this person coming up when I'm doing this? And I would get that out, get that out. Then they come right back up. The Lord said, because you got an issue. And he goes, you're believing for grace, and I'm putting the person right now that's blocking your grace. And it was an issue that I was unresolved issue, and he kept putting it up in front of me while I was believing for the dispensing of grace. Because if you have a trespass, God cannot forgive you. He says, when you stand praying, thy kingdom come, and you have aught against your brother, go and forgive. Because if you cannot forgive, neither can your Father forgive you. And you're standing in a state of unforgiveness, there'll be no grace that's going to come. So whatever's coming up in your heart, give attention to that when you're doing that. So I held that person and held him and held him. I worked with that person for a whole hour. By the time I was done, I had him at the throne of grace. I was praying for them, clothed them in love. It's like there I represent him before the throne of grace. God, I thank you that I lift this person to you and you cover them. You clothe us and how good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. I receive the oil of unity on both of us. I receive the bond, the perfection of your love for both of us. And I'm just working with them at the throne of grace because they were my issue. Now, what is grace? Since you're going to get it, what is it? What is grace? What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. Got that? Thank you. Here's the best definition I know of what grace is. Grace is everything Christ inherited for you, residing in the right hand of God under His name. Everything the Father gave Him, everything He inherited, everything He substituted on your behalf, everything from salvation to deliverance to prosperity to abundance to joy, peace, righteousness, wisdom, glory, grace, help, sufficiency, fullness, love, righteousness, peace, joy, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and power, increase, divine multiplication, apostolic, prophetic, pastoral, evangelistic, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Grace is the supply of heaven to lift you above where you are, above your enemies, to make you Superman. And you have to identify what's in there before you make an appeal for it. The more you know what's there, the more you'll draw upon what is there. It is unmerited favor, but it's the unmerited inheritance of God. It's a free gift that can only be received from a position of being in front of the Lord and received by faith. We have access into, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. By faith, into this grace wherein we stand. It'll make you stand when the enemy is trying to get you to lay down. It'll make you stand against everything. It is superior to anything the enemy will ever come at you with. It'll make this church going to fundamentally transform this church. It's going to cause us to go up. It's going to cause us to abound. It's going to cause us to increase. It's going to cause us to multiply. Not because we got some new system to do it with. We're going to get the system of grace. It supplies healing because Christ inherited healing on your behalf. Sure, He borne your sickness and carried your pain in His resurrection. He inherited all things pertaining to your body, and there is healing there. We got to get a channel open. Say a channel. The problem is we haven't learned to receive. We can get there. Enter in. Now, remember the days you were entering in? How hard it was to get through the door. Remember? You had to learn how to get through the door. Now you learned how to get through the door. It's easy. Same way with receiving. You got to learn to receive. You got to sit there by faith. If you got to get this, you got to sit there and work the receiving process by faith until you learn to freely receive. Doesn't matter what condition you're in. God freely loves you. He's going to dispense this freely. You don't have to be perfect. Everybody says, I am worthy. You've been freely justified by grace and been made an heir, the Bible says. You were freely justified. I stand justified to receive His grace freely. I am justified. I am worthy to receive it because He made me worthy. The Father must honor the Son when you're in front of Him. He will honor the sacrifice of His Son, and He will dispense that grace to you. If you come after it by faith, He cannot deny it. Because He will not deny the sacrifice His Son made on your behalf. He's not going to deny it. He's not going to deny it. But you got to receive it. There are things in the way. Sometimes it's just the mere thing. The channel has not been open. When I first start, I start the presentation of my spirit, soul, body, mind, and heart. Present my body a living sacrifice. I present my will. I set my affections upon you. See, I'm setting my soul upon things that are above. I seek those things that are above. I set my will to seek those things. I set my affection. I present my body. I present my body. I lay everything prostrate under. I present my life under the shadow of His wings. So I come in there. Then I start casting the cares. And I start rolling things off. So I'm getting ready to come through the door. Then we go through the door. Then we go to the throne of grace. Then we start the process of, and so when we get in front of the throne of grace, now what are we doing? We're going to appropriate that inheritance. But what I want more than anything right now is I want to open up a channel to receive. Now, how am I going to receive? I'm going to receive by faith. So faith to enter, faith to receive. And I start all those scriptures of receiving. I shall not God freely give me all things. I say that over and over again. Why? Because faith's opening the channel. I speak that. How shall you not freely give me all things? It's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above. The Father of lights in whom there's no variableness. Father, there's no variableness. There's no changing in you. You freely give it to me. See, parts of your soul and your belief system need to be convinced that God will freely give you, because you're so used to working it, because mammon makes a slave of people. Mammon tells you in the world system, you have to work for it. You have to earn this. It convinces you there's nothing in this world that's free. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes we go in there, we don't feel worthy. You got to convince yourself, I am freely justified by grace. I have a right to be here. You got to know that. I'm holy and without blame before you in love. I'm holy, unblameable, unreprovable. I am accepted in the beloved. You got to get that down. Because if you don't believe you're worthy to be there, you are not going to receive. Telling you, God has some conditions about how that grace flows. It's a free gift, but it's going to be conditional on your faith and your belief system. And sometimes you got to believe that God would freely give me that. He's never done that before. Why would he do it now? You got to believe. That's why I said, believe in his grace. But say, believe in his grace. He that believeth upon me, God will open a torrential river of inheritance right out of you, full of his grace. The living waters dispense his grace. The oil dispenses his grace. The grace flows. And when it breaks open, when the channel's open, the grace will start flowing. That's why Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. What we need is not another church growth seminar. What we need is his grace. What we need to receive it corporally. We see in the word that it changed, fundamentally changed the infrastructure of the Macedonian churches. Made them rich when they were poor. If they can do it corporately, then we can receive the revival. We got to believe revival's in there. If he inherited power, he's all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Thy kingdom come. It's the transfer of grace. He'll freely give us a revival. He'll freely give us signs, miracles, wonders. We got to do this and that and that and that. All we got to do is receive it. The years that it's taken is to learn where it is and how to get there. Amen. Noah found grace in the Lord's eyes. We're going to find grace in the Lord's eyes. We're going to go to where he administrates the grace, the throne of grace. I want to get face to face and I'm going to find grace. My God, when I saw that, it's crazy. I said, Lord, one man found grace and became the inheritor of the world. I want to leave you this. I want to find grace for this church in the eyes of God. Peter wasn't the most disciplined of all the apostles, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God used him. He was the one falling back under the law, but God used him. This is the part you got to get through our noggin here. God will give us grace because it's his nature to freely give us something we think we got to be perfect enough for. What I realize now is, hey, I can still be at this 15 years from now, still trying to look for the same thing and not receive it. What I had to do is shift everything. I had to move in receiving mode. Lord, I have to believe I'm worthy to come here. And I have to receive something that I'm not. And I humble myself in the recognition that I am not all that. We are not all that. You've given us wonderful treasures of understanding and revelation, but the most important thing we need is what makes us greater than ourselves. That we can't do this without what's inside your throne. I need what's inside your throne to do what I am called to do. To get to the next level, I can fight against every principality that shows up. I can stand against them, all that kind of thing, just like you can. But just standing against the devil day in and day out is not going to fundamentally change our cities if we learn how to warfare. What I need is something that builds me up above that thing. The place I find it is in your throne.